Well, I may as well welcome everyone and begin. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Simon Oliver.
Hello, everybody. It's really nice to see you. I'm conscious, I do know most of you, and most of you know me, but I do think there are a few that don't. So I just thought I would briefly introduce myself and also just update some of you because I've not seen you for a while. For those of you that don't know, I've been a Methodist minister in Cottenham for the last almost 10 years, working with the community centre. Lots of you have been parts of lots of things we've done, off and on and in different ways, or I've been part of things you've done. We've partnered in things like marriage and parenting courses, and people have helped us with technology for the Roost, which we've run, and all sorts of other things, and been part of our cinema and various bits and pieces over the last few years. The lovely thing I realised just this morning was there was a really nice synchronicity, if that's the word, to me doing this. This is sort of technically my last service as a minister in Cottenham, because and I did my very first service as a Methodist minister was at the Baptist Church in, it would have been 2010. I think Kate was definitely on maternity leave, and you were flailing around for a minister, and you flailed.
you flailed
in my direction, and I came and something. So there's something nice about, as I've now stopped being Methodist minister in Cottenham, although I am a Methodist minister and I live in Cottenham, to do a service with you again. The two slightly interesting things are, one, for the last couple of months I've been a chaplain, some of you know this, chaplain at Adam Brooks Hospital, which various people have pointed out was perhaps the wrong time to transition to working for the National Health Service, but has actually been amazing, and I will sort of touch on that a little bit during the service. But that's been a really, well, as you would imagine, and I don't know those of you that work for the NHS, if there are any of you in the gang, but it's been very, very intense time and been an honour to be part of it. The other interesting thing is, which I will mention now and maybe talk, I can chat about at the end and it will come up a little bit, is that I've handed my notice in at Adam Brooks Hospital because we, very out of the blue, my family were offered... I was offered a job in Northern Ireland, which is where Kate's family live. And so we've decided to do that, which is nothing we imagined happening, but I'm going to be, in subject to planes and boats, I will be leaving Cottenham at the end of June, and the family will follow at the end of the school year, whether or not they're in school or not. So we're very, very, very sad about that. Because as those of you that know as well know, Cottenham has definitely become our home and is our home, but various factors, including being able to be close to Kate's family, being able to afford a house, and so on, mean that we just think it's the right thing to do, although we're in at least 12 minds about it. So that's happening. And the interesting thing about that is, might be interesting to some, is that I'm going to be working not for the church, but for an amazing guitar company called Loudon, which is run by some friends of ours. They make the most incredible guitars, and but a Christian firm, and the current CEO, who's a friend of ours, was a missionary for the YWAM and all sorts of things like that. So they have a real Christian ethos, and which is why they approached me with some of my creative and community type skills to see if I could work with them. So that is happening very soon. Good. Right. Well, now I've waffled on about myself, I thought we would focus on God. And this is a psalm. I'm going to start with a psalm. One of the things about being being a chaplain these last couple of months has been, and it's been in some quite extreme circumstances of some very poorly people and some people close to death or dealing with death and families, is that for me as a Christian, I've sort of, it's stretched my thinking, but it's also forced me back to the my ideas of God and the scriptures that have kind of held me for years and decades. So the most important Bible verses have kept coming to mind, the things that I've sort of lived and breathed for years. And so a psalm that I've often shared with people who are struggling is a psalm that my dad sort of gave to me when I was, I don't know, depressed teenager, and as a sort of something to hold on to. And it's the 62nd psalm, and particularly verses 5 to 8. So as we enter into a time of worship and enter into a time of prayer and exploration of the scriptures, let's remember who it is that we come to and who it is that we can rely on. So this is Psalm 62, verse 5 to 8. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning and we give thanks that you are our refuge. We give thanks that you are the one whom we can come to in good times and in bad times, that we can come to you when we're full of joy and celebration and when we're full of unhappiness and despair, when we're full of faith and when we're uncertain and doubting. We can trust in you. And so we come before you this morning with all our flaws and our foibles, trusting in your forgiveness and grace and mercy. And we come before you with all our gifts and talents and skills, asking that you might use them and use us. So we pray that we might meet with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe we're going to sing our first song, which is Before the Throne of God. Thank you.
I'll mute everyone and then unmute David and Cheryl.
The scriptures I've been sort of given to look at means we're going to be continuing to go through the book of Hebrews, which, how long have you been doing it? It can't be that far because we're only on chapter 2, but I guess you've been doing for the last few weeks. Are you doing the whole book?
Not in one go.
Okay, fair enough. Good. So, yes, we're going to be reading from John Ely's kindly going to read from that Hebrews chapter 2 in a moment. And it's the theme just to have in the back of your minds as we listen to it is that of brothers and sisters. So thank you, John.
It's Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 10 to verse 18. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Thank you. I'm going to share a few thoughts on that in a moment. But the first thing, the thing I wanted to do for anyone that's feeling crafty and artistic and wants to think about things in a slightly more arty way, say I believe you usually have paper and pens. If anyone's got scissors to hand as well, that would be good, although they're not needed immediately. And what, for children, teenagers, any adults that want to do this as well, what I want us to do is this. I'm a terrible artist, as anyone who's ever met me will know. But what we're going to do is we're going to make a little paper dolls kind of situation. So if you get a piece of A4 paper and The best way to do it, hold on, I should have talked to some kind of artist first, is to draw, hold on, what's the best way to do? So you draw, I think you draw a person, you draw like a doll shape, person shape, and then you have a, this is terrible. So you draw a person shape, sorry for any humans out there, and with a arm sticking out, and then we're going to fold it into three. So let's say make it the third of the page. Is this going to work? And then I think what you do is, and you make yours nicer than mine, and then what you do is you cut around your freak, like, lizard person, and you should get, don't try and do this with right, you should then get three lizard people. Is it David Icke that is the lizards? Yeah, sorry. I can say what I want now. I'm on my way out of the village. It's time to bring in some lizard theology to the game. Right, hold on. So now I've chopped that out, and then okay. So three lizard people. So those of you that are more artistic, spend a bit longer with the shape of those people and colouring their faces and that kind of thing. But what I want you to do, thinking wise, as you do them. For children, teenagers, and anyone else who wants to do it, is to write down on those things the qualities of a good brother or sister. Now that might be some of you that have been annoyed by brothers or sisters recently, or have a really difficult relationship with brothers or sisters. This will be easier and harder. But for children and teenagers, especially while I'm doing the sermon bit, if you spend a bit of time making some much more attractive people, and then writing down and decorating them and making a few thoughts about what makes a good brother or sister. And as we're doing that, remember that Jesus calls himself and calls us his brothers and sisters, which is an amazing concept to get a hand with. We are known as Jesus's brothers and sisters. So all those great qualities of a great brother or a great sister are things that we perhaps share in our relationship with Jesus. So I'd be interested to see some of those at the end. And I say any adults are welcome to do those as well if they would rather do that than listen to my lizard theology. So, okay, let's pray briefly before I share. Lord God, we ask that we might grasp a little more today of what it means to be a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. Through your scripture and through our thoughts and through my ramblings, may you speak to us and show us more clearly our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Simon, can I encourage you to mute us while we're...
Yeah, will do. Yep. Thank you.
Just in case the creating the lizards in the background is too noisy.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. So... In the beginning was a lizard. Sorry. This is brilliant now you're all muted. I'm just gonna rant on. No. So we've just heard from Hebrews, and it says, part of it says this, but the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. I wonder how much we've actually considered that concept of what it means to be Jesus's brother or sister. I think we've perhaps, for some of us, we've perhaps got our head around the idea, the possibility that God might care for us like a father, like a parent. And even that idea, for some of us, the concept of God as a father might be an unhelpful or an unhealthy one, depending on our own experiences of fathers. And of course, when we're thinking about these ideas, it's always worth reminding ourselves of the limits of language, of metaphor, of simile when it comes to describing and defining and understanding God. But in general terms, I think maybe at this stage in the history of the church, we can get our heads around the idea of God as a father, as God as being the best kind of father, loving, caring, protective, generous, forgiving, compassionate, and also perhaps sometimes angry, upset, perhaps sometimes a person who would want to discipline and rebuke us for a good reason. And maybe, again, you might not like that concept of God, but for me, I think that sits quite comfortably as a notion of God. He's kind of like us in some ways, in the same way that a child relates to his father. There's similarities, but also he's bigger, he's stronger, he has more power, more control, is more responsible, and so on. But then to say that in Jesus, God becomes a brother to us is maybe another leap entirely in how we understand our relationship to God. Because a brother isn't something other, something above. A brother, a sibling, a brother or a sister really is like us. Me and my brother, our relationship, well, I've got one brother, it's called John, he's a couple of years younger than me. We would really wind each other up at times, we'd really annoy each other at times, but we also had this like strong need to defend one another and to fight for one another. I never got into any fights at school apart from this one time when a boy called Neil Davidson tripped up my brother on purpose in the playground, and my brother was really upset. Someone told me about this and I ran over, and in my one display of masculinity in my entire life, picked up Neil and threw him in a rose bush just outside the head teacher's office, which was a bad choice of bush. Anyway, so there's something about a brotherly, a sisterly relationship that really, again, I realise for some people those relationships are not necessarily good ones, but a good brotherly, sisterly relationship, there's a real connection and a sense of defensiveness and wanting and a very instinctive need to protect and look after. We also just, when for lots of periods of our life, spent as much of time as possible with one another. We would be sometimes do really naughty things together. We would sometimes, I remember we once spent an entire day in his bedroom with a string attached to the wheelie bin outside our house, and we had a walkie-talkie placed in it, and anytime someone walked past, we would pull the string, the bin would come up, and we'd talk to whoever was going past, sort of chatting to them, and everyone would be like very, very bemused and then chuckle and go on their way. We did that for hours and hours and hours. And so there's something again about a sibling relationship where you might just do something. There's a closeness. There's a at its best, there's a real camaraderie to it. You're in it together. The best brother, sister, relationships. It becomes a kind of us against the world. We're in this together. We're really alongside one another. There's something quite instinctive as well about that response. I remember when some of you know all our children rather well, but I remember when our daughter Clara was a toddler and our little boy Jesse was a baby, and he was sat at the top of our stairs in our old house, and he started to fall down the stairs, and Clara just absolutely instinctively just grabbed him and held him and yelled to us to come and get him. And she wouldn't have, he was a big baby, as any of him at the time would know. So that took strength beyond perhaps the normal toddler's strength to save her little brother. So this idea, and again, there's always a danger of applying our human attributes to God too readily, but I think it's often the best way, or it's often a very good way in understanding who God is. But this idea of therefore Jesus being a brother to us, someone who is in it with us, someone who it's him and us against the world, it's someone who would leap to our defense, it's someone that would know all our foibles, someone that would share in them, someone that would care for us, someone that we could have fun with, someone that we are connected with, I do think stretches that idea of who God is and what our relationship with God might be. To have a good relationship with a brother and a sister means to be loved and cherished in a very particular way. To have that relationship with God means to know ourselves loved and cherished, to know ourselves with somebody by our side with whom we share a camaraderie, someone who is willing to do whatever it takes, someone who instinctively leaps to our defense, someone who relates to us on our level. There's this famous passage it's a quote from, this comes from different sources, and one of them is Saint Athanasius, and another one is Irenaeus of Cyrene or something. Anyway, some old theologians from around about the 4th century, and they talked about Jesus in these terms, and it's a really interesting concept. He says this: he became what we are that we might become what he is. He became what we are that we might become what he is. So when we talk about this idea of Jesus being a brother, being a sister, not something other, not something separate, it really links to, for me, to something at the core of the Christian faith, the core of what it means to believe in a God who became incarnate in a human being. Jesus truly became and becomes and is like us. Jesus is a brother to us. Jesus experiences what we experience. Jesus knows what we experience and feels the pain of it, feels the joy of it, knows what it is to question and to ask tough, difficult questions of God the Father, knows what it is to suffer, knows what it is to experience great joy. And of course, this, for most of us, for many of us perhaps, is at the heart of our Christian faith, the idea that God really does and did come and dwell with us. We celebrate this at Christmas when we talk about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling with us. We talk about this at Easter when we look at the idea of Jesus suffering on our behalf, of Jesus defeating death for us, of Jesus suffering for us. And in all of this, for me, it gives a massive encouragement to not only to how I understand God's love for me, but also in how I am to relate to the world in which we live. If God in Christ is a brother to us, if God in Christ experiences what we experience and goes through everything with us, and he does that, as Athanasius says, he does that, he became what we are so that we might become what he is. He does that to bring us into a relationship with him. He does that to make us holy. He does that to bring about salvation and redemption and all those incredible gifts of a relationship with God. So if Jesus is my brother, if Jesus is your brother, if Jesus has that for us and wants that for us and has that relationship for us, it inspires and encourages me to want to live in such a way as to allow that to be a reality for other people too. So for me, there's something, there's been something about that notion of who God is that's sort of spurred me on in my entire ministry. And I say, many of you have been part of the kind of things we've done in Cottenham and with the community centre and with the other churches over these years. For me, that the heart of mission, the heart of the ministry of the church and of God's people is to be with people, is to be alongside people, is to truly know people, to truly know what people are experiencing, to truly feel their pain and to celebrate their joys. And I do think, and again, when I was thinking about this week and thinking about particularly these themes in relation to the Baptist church, I just thought, you do that. You really are that kind of a church. You are those kind of people that dwell with people. So that would be my encouragement to you as individuals and as people, is that I think you quite naturally, but also deliberately, take seriously this idea of God dwelling with people. You take seriously the idea of the incarnation, that the way in which God meets with people at his most profound is by experiencing what they experience and living the life that they live. You guys, as a church and as individuals, though I know personally, you take that seriously. You are known in the village as people of love and as people of faith, not with any kind of sinister agenda or some kind of weird recruitment drive, although you do often get people coming along and getting involved in your church. You do it out of love and out of sharing and out of taking that kind of idea seriously. So what I really just wanted to encourage you today is to keep doing that. Like, it's easy, I know it's easier said than done, and it becomes perhaps more complex in our current lockdown situation. But then I bet I would be willing to bet money, if I wasn't a Methodist and gambling wasn't illegal in Methodism, to that you have been continuing to connect with those people in the village who you love and who love you, that you've been continuing to connect with people who are in need of particular support and help, that you've been continuing to evolve how you do your ministry. If you're doing these sharing, watching films online and like at the same time, if you're continuing to meet as youth clubs and continuing to pray together and have home groups together, you've very quickly, and quicker than a lot of my Methodist colleagues, don't tell them, run to, and I think it probably, although I'm sure the technicalities of it have been a little bit complicated, you've just cracked on with it and done it, and it's like natural to you because you take seriously this idea of what God calls you to be. So I know you're supposed to be a bit challenging in the sermon sometimes, but I honestly, when I was reading these verses this week and I was thinking about the heart of mission and what it means to be God's church and what it means to be God's individual people, I've just thought, actually, you're not doing bad. You're really doing what God would call you to do. And of course, there'll be things that you could do better. There'll be things that you maybe need to stop doing. There needs to be things you need to, it's always worth keeping aware of what God is calling us to next and where our flaws lie and where, and all of that. And that's just part of being flawed human beings and a flawed community. The church is not a perfect thing, as I'm sure you're aware. So I've gone from being a minister to being a chaplain, and I'm now going to go and work with really great, nice guitars. But for me, the call to be to understand myself as a brother of Jesus Christ, and to understand my calling, therefore, to be a brother and to be a brother to others, and to share that incarnational love of God with others, goes on wherever I am and wherever I work. And I do hope, and I'm sure I'll stay in touch with lots of you, I do hope that I'll continue to hear about the amazing things you're doing as a church, as part of the community here in Cottenham. Just going to pause for a few moments silence, and then I'll pray. Out of reflex, thank you for doing that, Emma. Out of reflex, I put in offering at this point. So if you just put your credit cards on the screen. Yeah, that was great. I believe Dave has lined up the children's version of that UK blessing. Oh yeah, I'd like to see those at the end. Is that right? You've got there are, you may spot, I don't know if you know this already, there's a couple of Cottenham people in there. And I think a few people from C3 were involved in that video, and it includes a couple of our friends from Cottenham. So you may, Lydia and Naomi may recognise them. Anyway, so I can be a bit of a cynic and a bit into, and as Emma will know from coming to our arts nights for a bit, I'm more into kind of depressing music. But so I sort of avoided this when it first came out, and then my children played it to me, and I just think it's such a beautiful and moving prayer and song and blessing. So if anything, I prefer the adults version, but I thought it'd be, I knew you had the adults one last week, and so it'd be nice to have the kids blessing this week. So thanks, Dave. What did you have any characteristics or qualities of great brothers or sisters that you put on there that you could say, because I can't read that?
I had things like caring and trusting and sharing.
Yeah.
Supporting, encouraging, helping.
Yeah. What was on yours, Lydia?
We didn't write things on ours.
Okay. That's all right. Yeah. You know what great sisters are like anyway, don't you? Your family. Okay, well, that's great. And I think that for me, just this week, obviously I've always, it's one of those things, one of those facets of God that I've kind of considered, but never, I don't know, there was something about it this week, thinking about the sort of slight difference in the idea of God as a brother, as opposed to just God as a father or parent. So anyway, something to ponder in the week to come. And I'll just finish now by praying for you all, and blessing on you and your families.